The University of Detroit Mercy presents another brand new episode of Ask the Professor. Today's program was recorded using Zoom video conferencing technology.
The University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. In my center square, much like Charles Nelson Reilly, it's Professor Dan Maggio.
No, Paul Lind.
Oh, was it Paul Lind?
Yeah.
Yes. Of course. It was always
Paul Lind. Oh, it was always Paul Lind.
Okay.
But, you know, it could be.
He was on Match Game.
He was on Match Game.
He was on Hollywood Squares every once in a while.
But I don't have a. I'm sorry that I'm not going to try to give a Paul Lind joke. Would be bleeped anyway. But good afternoon, Matt, and my fellow Hollywood Square members.
Hey, I got something from my wife for Christmas, Dan. It's really just a regular notebook, but it says my catalog of dad jokes on the front because she thinks that that's funny. So I started doing research, and now I'm starting every class meeting with something that I find on the internet. Today I learned Albert Einstein was a real person. I had always thought he was only a theoretical physicist. Thank you.
Oh my! I broke a kneecap slapping it. Oh, jeez.
My wife says to me, "If you turn into your one aunt who tells lame jokes all the time, I'm going to take you out." I'm like,
oh. Well, she is only herself to blame.
Yeah, exactly. She's the one that bought me the book.
Exactly.
So, how you been, Dan?
Pretty good, actually. It's a nice day out, so the sun is always good for the spirits.
I love how you're commenting on that, and your virtual background has the sun just pouring in the window. It's like,
oh,
awesome.
Yeah. I wanted some consistent background to my video.
It's pouring in my window.
It's awesome. We will take it. Continuing around the horn, of course, we find ourselves with the inimitable Professor Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Excellent. How are you doing, Dave?
Wow. I'm doing okay. I woke up this morning. I don't know if you could hear it from where you're at, Matt, but like two doors west of me, they're roofing a garage.
Oh, how wonderful.
Complete tear down and rebuild. So
oh my god.
I found myself drawing to the beat of the hammers this morning. So I'm like, oh geez. And I'm thinking, please be done by the time we record a show, because I don't think Mike wants to hear hammer and nails right about now. So
yes, well, at least the eyesore was removed. They've replaced it with another one.
It's a two eyesore now, right?
That's right. So. It takes two eyes to be sore at it.
Jeez.
Professor Beth Oljar is here with us today.
Good to be here.
Always glad to have you, Beth. You said you were, you thought you were late because you were looking up recipes. I got to hear, did you land on any good recipes?
Oh, actually, they were ones that I had already downloaded to my phone. I was just sort of reviewing. I was just reviewing them because I have a pork tenderloin in the freezer. So I was thinking,
wonderful, wonderful. And everybody should have a pork tenderloin in their freezer ready to go at a moment's notice.
And you should wrap it with pancetta. And then
thank you, Mars. Jeez.
Oh my gosh. That's incredible.
It's totally yummy.
Do you usually roast or do you grill or do you do both?
Both. Yeah. Oh, I like to butterfly them and then put them on the grill.
Mm-hmm.
But one time when Dan and Tom were over for dinner, we had them wrapped in pancetta and roasted, and they were delicious.
Oh my gosh.
Like butter, everything is better wrapped in pancetta. Yeah.
Exactly. It was the first time I'd cooked with it. So
awesome.
That was cool.
And last but most certainly not least, the black hole that is Professor Jeff Boats.
I prefer, what was the original term for black hole? It was a completely gravitationally collapsed object or something like
right.
that. You say that 10 times.
For a while there, we were getting that, that big blocky font of your name in the middle of the box. But today, Jeff, I see you in the little corner there, but otherwise it's just the void.
I went Nova.
You imploded.
I'm serious. Today was the day I went Nova. I couldn't take it anymore. I don't know if it's because it's been a year. I don't know if it's because my birthday is coming up. So I'm actually in my office right now. I came in to work in my office all day for no reason other than I needed to get out of my house.
Mm-hmm.
So You know, you just gotta, any safe way to feel normal, you just gotta do it. Whatever your normal is, find a safe way to feel it anyway.
Normal?
Couldn't agree more.
Are you the only one in the building?
Almost. I think there's a couple of civil engineers, students down in that lab. And I passed Utpal Duda coming out of the building when I was going in at one point. So
nice.
I haven't
nice.
Seen anybody else.
Well, folks, I'll tell you what, this is a program. You can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. Email us at atp@unimercy.edu. Find us on Facebook and Instagram, or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. So we have a bunch, thanks to the diligence of our listeners, of questions sent in. And here's a great set. Dear Matt and panel, seeing how the hockey world was in the playoffs when I was writing these, here are 15 questions for your show about hockey. Thanks for a fun season of new shows. Sincerely, our good friend, many time question writer, Judy Palmer. Thanks for sending these in, Judy.
Welcome, everybody, to the Dave Chow Show.
Oh, great. Yeah.
What up, Dave?
Hold on. Oh, where's
where's Kathy when we need her?
Yeah. I also need Jason here, too. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, there's got to be a Penguins question in here that he can save me from.
Well, I know a Penguins one.
I think I can guide us a little bit through these. And, you know, I mean, we're in a rebuild mode. It's still Hockey Town USA. You know,
Ted Lindsay. There's got to be one.
So. We'll see. So we all know who the original six were, but in 1967, the league expanded again by adding six more teams. What were they? So I think I can help by giving you the prompts, because most folks know the professional franchises. So the LA franchise.
The Kings.
Mm-hmm. The original Minnesota franchise.
North Stars. Mm-hmm.
Philadelphia.
Flyers.
Ooh.
And of course, Pittsburgh.
The Penguins.
Yay.
And how about St. Louis?
The Blues.
Now, here's the one that doesn't exist anymore because it morphed.
Winnipeg, Atlanta.
There was a team from the broadly California. Do you remember what their nickname was?
The Golden Seals.
The Seals, that's right.
Really?
Wow. I didn't know that.
So were the Love New York the Rangers one of the teams added?
No, they were original.
No, that was original. Yeah.
Oh. Rangers would be original six. Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I was trying to work in a little bit of a joke. Not many people are alive after Father Herman passed away. One of our Detroit Mercy, U of D, Mercy College of Detroit historians, the buildings that the Jesuits built as the test campus, which now qualify as our sort of classic architecture on campus, there were six of them, and they called them the original six in ode to the NHL and et cetera. Mm. And I'm hoping that I don't embarrass myself. The powerhouse and clock tower, engineering, chemistry. Of course, originally our architecture building was the biology building or the life science building.
I was told it was the physics building for a while.
Right, exactly. It was sort of supplementary science that wasn't chemistry. And then, of course, commerce and finance broadly all the way over to
Lansing Riley.
So there's the original six buildings.
You mean Briggs isn't one of the original six?
I don't think it is.
And let me guess, the Novi campus isn't going to be anytime soon, is it?
Well,
the original 600, maybe?
We might surprise you. How about this one, which I'm guessing Dave Chow would know right off the top of his head. I'm assuming there was an animated character called Peter Puck.
Uh-huh.
And who was his voice?
Peter Shell,
that's right. Ronnie Shell.
Ronnie Shell. Yep. He was a regular on F Troop, if I remember right.
Oh, so, yeah, sure.
He was a character actor, did a lot of voiceover for Hanna-Barbera.
Mm-hmm. What famous ex-NHL commentator, played only one game as a player for the Boston Bruins, but ended up coaching them afterwards for five seasons.
Oh, Don Cherry.
Don Cherry.
Yeah, Don Cherry. Oh, yeah.
Don Cherry.
I want half his wardrobe, just any half.
Don't worry. You couldn't tell. I mean, it's like
those high collars, those Edwardian collars. They do kind of.
The collars wouldn't get me. It's always the suits. I'm like, who comes up with that fabric?
My
who
favorite
lost
is
the bet?
is the light blue one with the clouds on it.
Oh my!
Like
gosh.
He thinks he's Prince in Raspberry Beret.
Oh, dear Lord. Actually, my hometown team actually did a tribute for, it was a fundraiser where all the players had uniforms like him. Mm-hmm. So they had this orange and black plaid. It was god awful.
That would be awesome if, like, in the next All-Star game, they just all skate out there, and instead of their jerseys, they all have Don Cherry suits on over their shoulder pads.
Unfortunately, Jeff, I'll send you some photos. You'll cringe.
Instead of the U.S. against Canada or the North America against the world, it could be, like, plaids against the non-plaids, you know?
Vertical stripes versus horizontal.
Of this discussion is how Don Cherry kind of finishes his career in mild to high disgrace due to some comments he made that were not very nice. But we remember him for his wardrobe. What's the name of the award given to broadcasters who get inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame?
Foster Hewitt.
Foster Hewitt, yes. And who would be the most recent Detroit-based recipient of the Foster Hewitt Award?
Mickey Redman.
Yeah, very good. Awesome. Hockey Town alive and well here, folks. Hockey Town alive and well.
Geekiness, so.
All right. How many teams are there in the NHL? This is an eensy-weensy bit of a trick question because at the end of 2021, we will be re-adding a new Seattle franchise.
31?
Yeah, there's going to be 32, but there's 31. Yes. That is, I'm looking at Dan and Jeff squarely right now. 31 is a weird number. Just putting it out there. Just
Prime, isn't it?
100%. Yes, absolutely. Who calls the Console Energy Center their home ice?
C-O-N-S-O-L.
Florida team?
No, that's a good guess.
Ottawa?
No, it's probably who you'd least suspect now that I think about it, because you see Seoul, you think Sun, maybe Florida Panthers. Yep, but it's for a while there in the early 2000s, they were pretty bitter rivals with the Wings.
The Chicago Blackhawks?
The Avalanche?
Yes, but that's not it. No, it's the Penguins. The Penguins call the Console Energy Center their home ice. Yes.
A good guess, but wrong.
Yep, that's all right. So near and yet so far. What goalie had his brother score two goals on him during his NHL debut?
Well, that would suck.
Tony Esposito and Phil Esposito.
And his brother Phil. You got it.
Those two were wonderful.
So. Tony and Phil. That's awesome.
Was it? Tony played for Michigan State, didn't he? If I remember right.
Is that right? I think don't remember so. That.
Which one was a spokesman for the money store?
That's Phil. That
Phil.
Yeah. Tony was a little more low key. Phil would pitch anything. So
Peyton and Eli Manning have had to face off against each other.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah. Those were fun. Thanks for sending those in, Judy. You know, we got to get our hockey fix somehow. I'm sad to say that if I'm lucky to have grandchildren or great grandchildren, sooner or later, I'll have to tell them about this era in Detroit sports, the era when everything sucked.
Come on, we survived the dead things era. At least,
that's true. Ugh. That's true.
You're listening to a special edition of Ask the Professor, in which each of the six professors participating in this recording session were connecting to each other from different locations thanks to Zoom video conferencing technology. We're grateful to those listeners who submitted questions for today's show, and we welcome your questions at atp@udmercy.edu. Now, let's return to our host, Matt Mayo, with more questions for the panel.
We have another set of questions here. This will be fun. I was recently listening to an archive show from 1984, and the gang was trying to guess the name of a movie based on one sentence description. Edwin, George, and the rest were having such a blast identifying films from the 70s and 80s, I thought I would submit some more recent ones of these questions. I believe it was the New York Times that did it originally. I don't believe the New York Times does that one sentence movie description anymore. At least I couldn't find any. So I turned to present day platform of record, Twitter.
Oh.
Specifically the hashtag explain a film plot badly.
That's cool.
Be fun. So thank you for sending these in. It says, enjoy, Guyan from Torrance, California. Okay. Oh my, what a bar to set here. 8 out of 10 for the win. This Ooh. Is sheesh. Let's see, what's that, Dan? 80%? I'm sorry.
I think so. Let's ask Jeff. 80%, Jeff?
Yeah. Something like that. Let me check my slide rule. My slide rule says 79.99. Yeah, you'll call it 80.
Clip off 2 pinky toes.
Even I can get that one.
Here we go. I will give you hashtag explain a film plot badly. You give me the name of the film. A love triangle between a teenage girl, a 100-year-old guy, and a dog.
Is that
Georgia the Jungle?
What's the
or
one where the vampires glow?
Twilight. Yeah. Twilight, yeah. Twilight, okay. Beth, you got it.
Okay, I was also thinking Encino Man, too. So
I'm so proud I didn't know the name of that one.
Oh. I've actually seen all those movies. I tried reading one of the books and didn't think much of it, but I thought the movies were okay.
How about adopted kid's older brother won't let him hold a hammer?
Thor.
Yeah, that's fair to say.
Oh, yeah.
That's just mean.
Well, you know, what is Loki's motivation, Beth?
Well, he's kind crazy, of a mean so guy. That doesn't help. I mean,
yeah, he's the god of cunning and stealth and
mischief.
Yeah, that too. Yeah.
Girl has to pretend she's a man in order to be taken seriously.
Oh, there are so many scientific papers that fit that.
I was going to say, I mean, it's usually the other way around.
Oh, girl has to pretend to be a man. Victor Victoria, but
that's a good one. But this was a farther reaching back animated film recently turned into live action.
Mulan.
Yes.
Oh, Mulan. Okay.
Yep. There are some famous female mathematicians who had to pretend to be men just to get people to read their papers at first, and then after it was realized they were brilliant, they were able to come out.
Unbelievable.
Oh, I still remember sitting in my office at the University of Washington as a graduate student with a friend of mine in the philosophy program who said, yeah, you know, well, when I read a philosophical paper by a woman, I expect it not to be as good.
What?
Like, wow, thanks.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
And he was my age. He's a nice guy. This is not somebody you would talk to and think of as, you know, just sort of full of sexist stereotypes, which just reinforces how embedded they are, right? Mm-hmm. That you don't even know you have them.
That's sometimes. Right. Implicit bias affects Indeed. Us all.
So first we get better grades than the boys, and then we take your jobs. That's how this works. Just in case you were wondering.
And that's the old South Park trope. They took your jobs.
They took our jobs.
Taking our jobs. The Canadians? No.
It's pretty much
any
all over
immigrants,
that show
I think, is who, yeah.
How about this one? A family's first Airbnb style experience goes very, very wrong.
Sounds like Halloween or something like that. I mean,
no.
You're kidding.
Scary movie? What do you think of, Dan?
It's not,
no. Oh, The Shining.
It's The Shining.
Oh, that's not what I was thinking of. What's the one with Eddie Murphy where they go haunted house or haunted mansion?
Oh, that's The Haunted Mansion.
Oh, yeah. That makes The Golden Child almost look good.
I know I'm going to regret what I'm about to say, but Leslie and I found an Airbnb a number of years ago. And it was just, you know what it was? It was one of those tiny houses. And we were like enthralled about going to the tiny house. They would not let us make the reservation without being vouched for by someone who had already used Airbnb.
What?
And I kind of reached out to my friends and no one had done it before. And so we're just like, sorry, we can't take your money. I'm like, what? Don't you understand capitalism?
Wait.
Not the best way to run a business, but
yeah, I mean, it's like that doesn't make any sense. I mean, it's like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've stayed at enough of them. I guess I have enough of a rating, but I'm like, I've never had any issues. Like, you need a voucher or somebody to vouch for you? What?
I guess I should have reached out to you, Dave.
He would have vouched for you. But,
yeah, I mean, yeah, Matt, he's got a nice clean yard. His kids are decent, you know.
Upstanding. Exactly. Yeah. Leslie deadpans to me. They must have done a social media search. Turns her phone. It's a picture of Emmett with his finger up his nose. It's like, oh, well, now we're
go
to the Airbnb now. How about aliens try to take over the world, but America saves us all?
Independence Day.
Yeah, I was gonna say
Independence Day. Yeah, Independence Day.
I really like that movie. Actually,
I really like that movie too.
Yeah.
Well, of course you do. Stuff gets blown up.
Yay, yeah, there's Mara.
What is it, Bill Pullman? Hey, it's Professor Mara Livesey joining us today. Mara, you know what we're doing? You're going to enjoy this. We have single sentence film plots from hashtag explain a film plot badly. See if you can name the movie.
That sounds amazing.
So we just did Aliens Try to Take Over the World, but America Saves Us All. That's, of course, Independence Day.
We Canadians, we were just along for the ride.
How about this one? This one's gonna take your thinking cap, and we're 5 for 5 right now, so we got to keep this up.
Oh,
a series of naps, some longer than others.
Series of naps.
It's not Inception.
Not Groundhog Day.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Inception. It got covered up by someone else talking. You get it, Beth. It's Inception.
Oh, God, that perfect movie drove me mad.
Perfect. A terrible description for that movie.
Not really.
Oh, trust me, Mara. They don't get much better, but
I think we talked about this before because I'm fascinated by the fact that there are people who make movies, not necessarily star in them or even write them, who people get attracted to. And I have never for myself seen a bad Christopher Nolan movie. I'll watch everyone till the end and love them all to death. I don't know what it is. It just, he gets me and I get him. It's kind of weird. How about after the death of her parents, a young socialite causes millions in property damage? This is a good one.
Sounds
Batman.
Socialite.
No, but no.
Yeah. I was thinking, is there a Lindsay Lohan movie?
This was an animated feature.
Oh, okay. Frozen?
It's Frozen. A young socialite. I'm like, what is this? The New York
socialite? Times? Was the Kardashians on ice? I mean,
I've never been a socialite. Got to put that out there since Dave suggested it was the Beth Oljar show.
Well, I like the destruction thing. That's all. That would be you.
Now that I'd be down for.
You would like to be able to shoot snow and ice out of your fingertips, Beth? That would be kind of.
That would be sweet.
It would make grading easier.
Yeah.
Somebody.
Yeah, it really would.
It would somebody finally be a good reason to call a woman an ice queen.
Oh, well, you know, if she act. I mean, that was the original fairy tale used to make Frozen, right? Was the ice queen? Was the name?
Hans Christian Andersen, yeah.
Yeah. I was just thinking that somebody put, and it pretty much happened every year since Frozen, the old block meme on Facebook that's like, so the cold actually does bother me? It bothers me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
How about man-child learns to be adult?
Arthur?
Yeah.
That's not what it says here. I'm giving you partial credit. There's a little bit of a joke in this one.
Big?
Yeah, that's... No. Big was my guess.
Man-child
learns to be adult.
You know, Mrs. Doubtfire?
Home Alone.
No, you know what it says? It says every single movie that Adam Sandler has ever made.
The
Longest Yard, Waterboy.
Happy Madison?
Yeah, not to be confused with Billy Madison. So
Happy Gilmore, yeah.
Happy Gilmore, yeah.
Takes on Bob Barker.
I was thinking
the price is wrong, Blake.
We are all stupider for having listened to you speak. That's just one of the best lines ever. I'm sorry. How about paranoid billionaire is afraid of immigrant?
Wait a minute. That sounds way too close to current politics.
Paranoid billionaire afraid of immigrant. How dare you characterize Donald Trump as a billionaire? He's at least an 11,000-aire.
Yeah. My bad. I was thinking Batman, but what's a movie with
actually, you're not too far off, Dave.
Is the immigrant from outer space by any chance?
Possibly.
Oh, is it Iron Man or like Marvel?
It's Batman versus Superman is what they're getting.
Oh, so. That's right. I never think of Superman as an immigrant, but I guess, yeah, I mean, you never see his green card. So, I mean, I guess so.
Wonder Woman could take them both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Superman is the purest immigrant story. You know, it was written during the Holocaust, too.
Yep.
That's true. That's absolutely
even,
right.
Even the name Kal-El has the sort of Hebrew ramifications.
Yeah, but didn't we get a question like a year or two ago that, you know, they extrapolated that he was actually raised Baptist?
That Superman was?
Yeah, because of
the where you
the Kents were. Yeah, I guess they were Kansas, you know, in Kansas, you know, in that era, I guess. I don't know.
It feels I vaguely remember that question. Brother Guy Consolmagno's book is, would you, the number one question he gets asked, being the brother Jesuit who works at the Vatican Observatory, would you baptize an alien? That's his number one question that he gets asked. Ooh. So he wrote a book called Would You Baptize an Alien? And it's actually pretty pretty insightful. He's a cool guy.
Would he?
Yeah, what's the answer?
You know, he made this very, he came to talk at Detroit
God
Mercy a few years ago.
A problem, but mm-hmm. Okay.
He would not have a problem with it, but he did this little sort of very deft switcheroo. It felt a little bit like, you know, how you're supposed to take really small kids and not like directly punish them when they do something wrong. You're supposed to like take them away and, well, let's go look at this, like immediately distract them.
Yeah.
And he was passing around because he grew up in Metro Detroit. He grew up just north of Detroit. It's where he went to grade school and high school. He was passing around all of these rocks, basically. And during his talk, he was answering that question. And I was paying more attention to this thing in my hand. And he's like, who's got the one that's shaped like this or whatever? And I held it up because I had it.
Yeah.
He's like, we are very confident that that is formerly a piece of one of Saturn's moons. And it like just blew my mind that it was in my hand and that he was letting me touch it. And so I forget, Beth, how the answer to the would you baptize an alien, because I'm like, I got a piece of another planet in my hand.
I'm busy having a science nerd moment. I understand.
But he's just one of the just most down to earth, haha, you know, guys I've ever met. He's a cool guy if you ever want to follow him online. Fun things to say. Last one, folks, and we got one wrong. So we either pass just barely or we get one better here.
Uh-oh.
Man wanders frozen wasteland in search of an Oscar.
Oh, sounds it's like the one with Leonardo DiCaprio. Oh, what's it called, though?
Revenant?
The Revenant. Yeah, Revenant. That's right.
Yeah, it's the one where he eats some god-awful food or something like that.
That's right. Really? You came through for us here.
Nice. He should have died like 10 times in that film.
Exposure, right?
He didn't find the Oscar till the end. That was the thing. See, you know, that was pretty awesome. Thank you, Guyanne. I know I'm mispronouncing your name. I apologize. G-Y-A-N, Guyanne. Those were awesome, awesome questions. And I love the bite-sized nature of them. And of course, we chewed them up and spit them out because we got 9 out of 10. How do you like that?
Huh? Barely.
Unbelievable. Wow. Well, professors, I'm afraid, taking a look at the time, that's all the time we have for today. It was a short show for you, Mara, but we'll give you some more time on the flip side here. So the time has come to say goodbye, Jeff.
Toodaloo, y'all.
Beth.
Bye.
Dave.
See ya.
Dan.
See ya.
And Mara.
See ya.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.